Welcome to Briar Cliff. Some of you here for the first time, let's welcome those people here. Would you do that? Really, really, really good to have you. Yesterday I had a funeral and I knew that one of the sons had a tremendous respect for his dad. And I just went up and I said, describe your dad for me. And he stood there for a moment. He said, there is so much. I don't know how. And I thought about, describe God. You know, you stop for a moment and say, there is so much. How do you go about describing God? Have you ever heard of S.M. Lockridge? He was a pastor in San Diego for 50 years, and he describes God. I've watched this over and over. In fact, I watched it 3 times this week. Many of you have seen it before. But it will bless you just as you listen to S.M. Lockridge describe God. Watch. Oh, I love listening to him do that explanation of God. That's kind of what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 23. Is he is trying to give us some glimpse of God. And he comes at it in a very interesting way to begin to describe God as a shepherd. So we're going to take this one verse at a time, and today we're only going to look at this part of the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It's a very short verse, but don't get your hopes up. The message is not going to be any shorter because we're just dealing with one verse. And we're going to take it a word at a time. There's a richness in most every word, and so we're going to unpack it a word at a time, not a verse at a time, a word at a time. My hope is that when we get finished with this morning, that this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, every word when you read it in the days ahead will just pop out with new meaning and with new richness and new fullness for you as you look through that. So it starts off with the Lord, L-O-R-D. Do you find anything unusual about that word, L-O-R-D? What is it? It's in all caps. Why is that? How many of you know why it is in all caps? Let's see your hands. That'd be good to know, wouldn't it? We'll come back and deal with that next week, so be sure. This word, L-O-R-D, is the personal name of God. It is the name that God used when he talked to Moses. It's a name that is above all names. It is a name that they spell with consonants. And you'll see there, I put those consonants out there, YHWH. What's missing? There are no vowels. And they would not try to pronounce that name. Later, they begin to put vowels in there, Yahweh, or some would put vowels in and make it Jehovah, and that is God's name. It's used over 5,300 times throughout the Bible. Do you realize how many times the Bible, you know, S.M. Lockridge began to use all kinds of phrases to describe God? Do you know how many terms there are in the Bible to describe God? Over 900. Why is that? Because there's no one name there that will fully address who God really is. So today we miss that. We do not realize that the name, so this name, when he starts off, the very first word, the Lord, he's making a great description of what God is like. We miss that today. We know a little bit about, we'll maybe call people nicknames. We had a guy that on the radio when I was growing up, and his name was Slim Wilson. What do you think that says about him? Or we had a guy in our church that we called Red. What color do you think his hair was? My name is Vernon. You know what Vernon means? Anybody know what Vernon is? What it means? It's a great name. You'll want to name your kids. It means flourishing. Flourishing. I'm trying to live up to my name. You know, flourishing, flourishing. Does your kids know what their name means? To name them. But we don't do that in our... But then in the Old Testament, names described the person. So in the Bible, this name is 5,300 over 5,300 times there, and 900 times of a different kinds of names. Turn to Jeremiah 32, verses 17 through 18. And we'll give you just a glimpse of that. The Lord. Now, this word Lord is not capitalized. Isn't that interesting? Because that is not the term Yahweh. It is Adonai. Adonai, which means master. So he uses a different term there. The Lord, God. Now God is all capitalized. The same word as Lord when it's all capitalized. It's Yahweh or Jehovah. The Lord, God. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great and power and then by your outstretched arm. Nothing's too difficult for you. O great and mighty God. This is a different term. El, which in the Old Testament and the Creator says, and God created, that is Elohim. So we find in verses like this that over and over it would use different names trying to describe God is one that is awesome. Yeah, Yahweh is one that always has been, always will be. He's eternal. He's more than we can fully ever understand. We'll spend all of eternity learning more and more about Yahweh because he is eternal. But he's also Adonai, kind of like the Lord or the Master. He is also El or Elohim. Or sometimes they'd hook up Jehovah or Jehovah Jireh. Did you ever hear Jehovah Jireh? There's a song, Jehovah Jireh, provider. When Abraham found that God had provided someone instead of his son to be sacrificed, he called the place Jehovah Jireh. So on and on and on and on the names go to try to describe this God. And it is extremely important that we understand this God. So he's trying to help us understand the Lord, the Lord. Right now in our culture, we have a declining understanding of God. And because that is a declining understanding, if you even go on to research, there is a declining belief that there is a God, especially a personal God. Since 1980, we have seen that continue to go down. We will never solve unity. We'll never solve the violence. We'll never solve. There is not enough laws to bring our nation together. There's not enough rights to bring our nation together. The only thing that is a solution that will ever bring us together is our understanding of God. And when we have that clear understanding of God, it changes the way that we behave. We've lost that. A.W. Tozer says it this way. Look at the last part of this statement. He said, we tend by a secret law of the soul to move toward our mental image of God. And if you don't have a clear, correct mental image of God, you'll shoot anyone and not give it a second thought. You'll run over anyone else and lose total respect for anybody else. It's all me, all me, all me. When we lose that, we lose all unity in our society because we do not understand the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord. The Lord. What's the next word? The Lord is, not was, not will be. The Lord is. The question is he Lord of your life? There's no question the Lord is. That's defining reality. The reality is the Lord is. The Lord is. The question is the Lord of your life right now? He was saying the Lord is right at this very present. The Lord is my shepherd. The question is he the Lord of your life right now, right at this very moment? Who is the one that gives direction to your life? Who is the one that rules your life? The Lord, he says, the Lord, as he describes him, the Lord, this great and mighty eternal God, is right now my shepherd. This God, am I describing him, wants to be my shepherd. So the Lord is, the next word is what? My shepherd. Now, the psalmist does something very unusual here, is because they looked at God as a Yahweh, and they wouldn't even pronounce the name. They'd add something else, like Adonai or something. They would not even say the word because it was so holy, so high, and to be reverenced. Now, what he does, he doesn't leave that off. The Lord, this is the one that's high and mighty, is, now he gets very personal, is my shepherd. There's a lot of wives here today as I look out over the crowd. But you're not my wife. You're a wife to me. But to somebody else, you're probably my wife. But my wife, how did Charlene get to be my wife? Well, first of all, I swept her off her feet. And she said, yes. And then we went, stood before a pastor, and said, I do. The moment I said, I do, I also said, I don't. To every other woman in the world. I do. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Take up what? Your cross. Cross only means one thing. To die. To take up your cross. How often? Daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. The only way you can have a rich relationship with a wife, that's my wife, you have to turn from all other, to turn to the richness of that relationship. So let me ask you, can you say with all certainty and all genuineness, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd? I look at him as such an awesome, huge God, but he's my shepherd. I had such a great respect for my dad. I was extremely fortunate, I think, to have a dad like my dad. And I looked at him with such reverence and respect. I never, ever wanted to do anything but displease him. Never wanted to do anything to disappoint him. And I remember just as a small kid, with this tremendous respect for him, standing kind of in awe of him. And yet the personal touch, when I was just a little kid, I'd jump up into his lap. I can still picture the chair there with the lamp beside the chair. And I'd crawl up into his arms, and he'd wrap his arms around me. It's my dad. My dad. And yet, in all the love he had, there was also love. There's also another part of it, is wrath. I knew the wrath of my dad also. Now, do those go together? By all means. You cannot have, listen to this, you cannot have love without wrath. You say you love your kids? If you don't have some wrath if they're mistreated, you really don't probably have a love at all. You see, those go together. And this God is a God of love, but mark it down well. He's also a God of wrath. The Lord is my shepherd. Does your wife love you? Is there a wrath of your life, wife? She will unleash it on her if you break that vow. The Lord is my shepherd. What's a shepherd? What's a shepherd do? Well, one thing, a shepherd cares for the sheep. Another thing is they lead the sheep. They feed the sheep. They protect the sheep. The shepherd is one, and the psalmist is trying to describe. Let me tell you what God is like. He's like a shepherd, and he cares for us. Pam McClellan, I've talked quite a bit about her. We had her funeral a number of weeks ago. And I went over to visit with her one time, and I thought, I'm just going to read to her Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And I said, I'd like to just paint that in your mind, not just to say it, but I'd paint it in your mind. Picture right now, she's laying there in bed and knew that life was vanishing. And I said, picture this, the Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd would take a sheep that maybe broke a leg or couldn't make it on their own, and they'd pick up a lamb, put it on their shoulders, and carry that sheep. Just picture that. She smiled and pointed, I totally missed, and pointed to a big picture right beside her bed of a shepherd carrying a sheep. Some of you today broken. You can hardly make it. Life has fallen apart. And when you say, watch this, when you say the Lord is my shepherd, what does that make you? A dumb sheep. I've been waiting for a long time to biblically tell you, you are dumb. Do you know of any animal that's dumber than a sheep? We used to haul cattle to town every week. And you know, you cannot drive a sheep. You have to lead a sheep. So the Lord is my shepherd. Not only cares for me, God is one that deeply desires to lead me. Because I do not know, there's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is what? Death. So I need someone to lead me. The shepherd had two tools. Remember what those two tools were? We'll get to that later on in the Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff. The staff is a long stick with a crook on the end. And sometimes he would lead the sheep, but just taking that staff and pulling on their leg to get them going the right direction. The rod and thy staff. I need the leadership of God. The sheep, you take a dog out and the dog knows how to get home. The cattle know how to get home. The sheep do not have a clue. They do not have a clue. They don't know how to get back home. They need to be led. And by the way, what is leading your life? Have you ever thought about that? What is leading your life? When we'd take these cattle to the stockyards, we'd take these sheep, and of course you can't drive them. You have to lead them. And so they had a goat there trained. And a goat seemed to me like they're smarter than a sheep. They could actually train a goat, and they would follow the goat. So we'd get them out of the truck. Finally, you couldn't run them out. You just drag one out, and they would follow that goat. And that goat would take them to the stall in which, but they also, this is kind of gruesome. They told us the way they led sheep to the slaughter was a goat that would lead them. And right when they get to the door of the slaughter, they'd take a side road and the sheep would go in to their death. They had named that goat. Do you know what they call that goat? Judas. You're right. Judas. Judas would lead them. Let me ask you, who's leading your life? The Lord is my shepherd? Or has Judas come in? Has Satan come in? Has the world come in? Your own lust, your own desires. Who is leading your life? The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist said, God so much wants to lead your life. He cares. He leads. He feeds. Sheep are not very good at even finding their own food. And they need to be led. And they need to be fed. That when they come to the shepherd, God wants to feed your life. He wants to give you the right things and not the. Do you ever notice how that babies will put anything in their mouth. Have you ever noticed that? Anything. And that's the reason why you put these latches on these cabinet doors, because they'll go drink the Drano, you know? They'll put anything in their mouth, kind of like a sheep. And so the shepherd would be very careful to feed them the right thing and keep them away from the wrong thing. Are you allowing the shepherd to do that in you? So he cares, he leads, he feeds, and a shepherd would protect. What's the other tool the shepherd has? The staff, but also the rod, just a long stick that you throw like a bullet. And scatter the wolf, run the wolf, kill the wolf. Or in Montana, the greatest predator of the sheep there in Montana is the coyote. In the Old Testament, they talk about the wolf. And they could protect them. We need the protection of a shepherd, because all of us tend to wander away. Maybe that's you today. Do you feel like you've wandered away from the leadership of this shepherd? How's that gone for you? Turned out to be a mess, hasn't it? And today you need so much to come humbly to the shepherd. He loves you. This is what God is like. God is one with his arms are open wide. Here's what God is like. Jesus was trying to explain this to the Pharisees, and they didn't understand. He said, what is this God like, you know? And he said, let me tell you a story about a shepherd. He had 100 sheep. Oh, 99, because one had strayed away. He'll leave the 99 to search for that one. Are you that one this morning? He'll do it. This is what God is like. He'll do anything he can. He'll do anything he can to reach out to you that are strayed away. He'll do anything he can to reach out to you that are hurting, to you that your life has fallen apart. He'll do anything he can. That's what my God is like. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. I shall not what? Want. What do you mean by that? I shall not want. It means that God wants to fulfill our life. Fulfill the very purpose of our life. He wants to direct us and fulfilling us. And there's nothing that will fulfill that life like God alone. Jesus said it one time this way in John 10:10, and you're familiar with it. John 10:10 says that, and that's going to come up on the screen just in a minute. I can just feel it coming right now. The thief's purpose is to steal, to kill. There's a thief at your door many times. And that thief wants to steal and kill. He wants to rob you of this fullness. But my purpose, that's what Jesus said, my purpose is to give life in all of its what? Fullness. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He fulfills my life. He fulfills my life. He fulfills the very purpose of my life. Don't ever confuse this with a full schedule. Having a full schedule does not mean a full life. That's the thief. That's the thief that wants to clutter your life, clutter it so much with a schedule that some of you will say, oh, I've been crazy busy. Did you ever hear Jesus say, I am so crazy busy? But yet you ask somebody to do something in the church, and their schedule will not allow it. Have you got overscheduled, overcommitted, so that the thief has come in and filled you with that which is false, that it seems like that it fills you up? And it only is a false thing. You know, Charlene is a great grandmother. She loves to take the grand, especially the two young ones, and they come over in the morning time, about mid-morning. You know what she'll do? Have any of you ever heard of Lamar Donuts? Huh? About mid-morning, she'll take them over, not only get a donut, but a bottle of chocolate milk. And then I come on the scene and we go out to lunch. What's wrong with you? Why don't you want to eat? Because they're full of donuts. Some of you are full of bologna. We offer you a steak and you say, no, I'm full. What's filling your schedule? Are you overscheduled? Are you allowing this shepherd to fulfill your life that I shall not want? He fills me up to fulfill everything that God has made me to be. You may have a lot of friends, but they cannot quite fill you. You cannot be fulfilled by getting a master's degree or even a PhD. You're not going to necessarily be fulfilled because you've gone up the ladder in business a little bit more and raking down a few more bucks, and you're still not fulfilled. Here's a quote that I'd like for you to just look at by Pascal. He was a great scientist and mathematician and also a theologian and a philosopher. He said that there's a God-shaped vacuum inside of every person, and only God himself can fill it. You can't go to the largest buffet in town and it fill that God-shaped vacuum. You can't go to school. That'll fill your mind. That'll give you a lot of intelligence. It'll not fill that void inside. You can become the greatest guy in your company, but it'll not fulfill the total purpose for which God has made you. Only God can come. And the psalmist said, I want you to know what God is like. He takes my life and fulfills it. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. So how are you going to take this verse? Well, first of all, I hope that when you read it, every time you read it, every word will pop out like it never did before. God, the Lord, the Lord. And you just pause for a moment and not take that too lightly. In reverence, the Lord is. Stop for a moment. Is. In fact, I want you to just look at, let me give you some next steps to take, and then we're going to bow for a moment and let you deal with God, let him give you some direction. But look at it. God is the shepherd of my life. He's the Lord of my life. Is he the one in charge? Is he one leading you? The Lord is. The Lord is. He's Lord of my life. God is, right now, my shepherd. God is my shepherd. Very personal relationship. I know him. You know, the shepherd would take the sheep from the field sometime and they'd take them into town, drive them into town, and they put them in a communal stable. How'd they know which sheep to take when they got ready to leave? And Jesus said, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. I read this week where people could put on the shepherd's clothing and call for the sheep and they wouldn't come. They call for the voice. The Lord is my shepherd. You hear his voice. Do you hear his voice when you read the scriptures? The Lord is my shepherd. I hear his voice. And God fulfills me. He's the only one that can help you fulfill the very purpose for which you were made. Now, would you bow? And I want you to listen to the song that we sang a while ago, The Lord is My Shepherd. Now I want you to just think about what's your next step. You know the verse now. You can kind of walk through it in your mind. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. As you think about that verse and meditate on it, what do you need to do now? The Lord, do you reverence Him? The Lord is right now, is my. Do you know that personal relationship with Jesus? Is, because you've made a commitment to Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you need Him to pick you up because you're broken? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Listen very carefully and let God speak to you. And in your own mind, say, okay, God, I understand. This is what I need to do this week. So listen to it.